articles by Desiring God.
Sin Won't Comfort You: How Satan Tempts the Hurting. Written and read by Marshall Siegel. 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with a severe sensitivity to gluten. As my poor wife can testify, I fought the diagnosis for months, but I eventually cut it out of my diet, and I felt better. A year or so ago, I started experiencing similar pain, sometimes over multiple hours. So my doctor referred me to a specialist. We ran some tests, and he asked me a bunch of questions. At one point, he asked me about the kinds of things I drink. I told him I had cut back on coffee and cut out soda completely, but that I still drank a fair amount of sparkling water. "Yeah, you should probably cut that out too," he said. He went on to explain what should have been obvious, that pouring carbonation on a sensitive GI tract is likely to inflame your system, causing even more irritation and discomfort. Unfortunately, I, like many of you, had always heard that if I had an upset stomach or tummy ache, I should drink a little Sprite or ginger ale to settle my stomach. So for that whole year, whenever I would start to feel some kind of discomfort, I would go to the fridge and grab, you guessed it, a sparkling water, expecting it to make me feel better, and then wondering, completely confused, why I felt even worse. Well, I cut out sparkling water, and my issues immediately stopped. Within days, my whole body felt lighter and healthier. And 6 months later, I'm still not having the same issues. So why am I telling you all of this? Because the more I look back and watch myself pouring sparkling water on my pain over all those months, the more I see how often we do the same with sin. Amid some pain or frustration or discouragement or exhaustion, we reach for some besetting sin, expecting it to make us feel better, and then wonder, completely confused, why we feel even worse. Satan hunts the hurting. Satan knows how prone we can be to turn to sin in our suffering, and he preys on that weakness. The Apostle Peter writes his first letter to believers in intense affliction. They were suffering fiery trials of various kinds. In particular, many of them were being slandered and maligned for following Jesus. People were saying awful things about them. Listen how he counsels them to suffer well. 1 Peter 5, 8-10. "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Now, the devil prowls around all the time and would love to devour any of us at any time. But the apostle sees a particular vulnerability in suffering. He knows from personal experience and from ministering to others that Satan hunts among the hurting. Peter has seen how seductive sin can be when life gets difficult and painful, and he's heard the bad excuses we make for ourselves. So he presses three realities on the fragile hearts of sufferers. Number one, you have a disturbing and hidden enemy. One way Satan distracts us from his malicious power and influence in our lives is by introducing the turbulence of suffering. If he can shake our plane enough to bring the seatbelt lights on, he knows we might focus on our trials and forget he's even there. Peter warns us, however, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." You have an adversary, and he's not some stray cat chasing mice. He's a 500-pound lion, the king of the pride, and he's stalking souls like yours and mine. And yet, how often do we live as if the devil isn't real? As if there isn't a real spiritual war being waged against our faith? The Apostle Paul pulls back the curtain. "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Ephesians 6:12. When trials come of various kinds, we need to be reminded that we have a serious enemy, that malice waits in our shadows to attack us at our most vulnerable. Number two, you are not as alone as you feel. When suffering comes, we need to be reminded that we have an enemy. We also need to be reminded that we're not as alone as we tend to feel. Listen again to what Peter says. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Verse 9. How do we resist our awful enemy? One way is to remember that many brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering in the same kinds of ways. And not just suffering, but suffering well. By God's conquering grace, they're enduring suffering and overcoming suffering. And some of them are surely suffering more than you are right now. Seeing the armies of God's people braving intense trials should strengthen our souls to keep fighting for another day, another month, another year, if necessary. Peter knows how isolating suffering can be. Many sufferers feel like no one else is going through what they're going through, that no one knows their pain. He also knows that what we feel in suffering is not always reality. We need to be reminded to look up and see God comforting, strengthening, and satisfying his embattled church all over the world. Number three, whatever your pain is, it will end soon. Before you shrug this off as trite, remember that the man writing this letter was persecuted, threatened, imprisoned, and eventually crucified upside down. His suffering was not short or infrequent or minor by any measure. And yet he can say, next verse, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Verse 10. After you have suffered a little while, some of you are tempted to scoff. You've had the pain you bear for years, maybe even decades, and it's not letting up. I won't pretend to know what it's like to suffer like you have, but I will promise you, the apostle did not misspeak, even in your case. Compared with the countless years of painless bliss coming to all who follow Christ, any suffering for any amount of time is only a little while. These years will one day seem as minutes. God will soon restore you, and you'll never be broken again. God will soon confirm you, and you'll never feel unsure or insecure again. God will soon strengthen you, and you'll never again stumble or faint for weakness. God will soon establish you in his presence, and you will stand radiant with no discomfort, no illness, no heartache in the eternal glory of Christ forever. No turbulence, no interruption, no bad news ever again. So knowing what God's about to do for you, can you suffer just a little longer? What secret sin tempts you? This dangerous tendency in us to turn to sin in our suffering for satisfaction and relief, it reminds me of Jeremiah 2:13. God says through the prophet, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." In their thirst, they've forsaken the fountain of living waters. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. And they've sucked down the sparkling water of sin instead. Sin's worse than that, though. The prophet describes sin as broken cisterns, as cups with cracks and holes. Nothing's staying in, and so nothing's pouring out. So what's that cup for you? What secret sin are you tempted to turn to when you're feeling down, or lonely, or frustrated, or stressed out and overwhelmed? I'm not a doctor, but you need to cut that out. I promise you, the comforts of sin, the comforts of impatience, of overeating, of anger, of binging shows or movies, of anxiety, of bitterness, of lust, will only make your pain worse in the end. And I promise you, only the comforts of Christ hold what your soul craves in the valley. We won't find healing for our suffering or power to overcome temptation simply by refusing our besetting sin. We need to drink from a better, deeper, more satisfying well. We need to see and savor Jesus through his word, through prayer, through one another, and all the more when suffering comes.
For more resources, visit desiringgod.org.